Straight Talk is brought to you in part by Southern California Edison. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. And now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk. We're delighted and honored to have as our guest for tonight's show the Chief of Police of the Long Beach Police Department, Tony Batts. And Chief Batts, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Art. Thanks for having me.
Chief Batts runs a department with 1,500 employees, a $150 million budget, serving 472,000 residents here in Long Beach. And how's the fight on crime going, Chief?
It's going very well, Art. I think crime is down again. I know crime is down again by 5.9%, second year in a row. Officers doing a dynamite job.
And one of the real challenges, of course, is to maintain the decrease in crime in face of the budgetary cuts which your department and all city departments are facing. How did you fare in this round of cuts?
Well, what we try to do is scale the organization down to make it very efficient. Last year, we lost about 35 positions through attrition and vacancies. And this year, we're probably going to be impacted by another 40 to 45 positions that we're going to leave vacant through attrition.
Now, you have approximately 1,500 employees. You told me 968.25 sworn positions and 600 actually on patrol. Mm-hmm. And I know you have focused in response to community wishes and requests more service on patrol, quicker response time. Mm-hmm. And what is the future for the number of people on patrol?
I like to digress a second here, Art. I need to say in the vacancies that we've had over the last couple of years also, there have been no sworn officers, and there haven't been any dispatchers impacted. There have been civilian personnel along the line, support personnel. But what we've done with the organization is slim it down. I've taken officers from other details, whether it be training, some of our detective details, and put them back in the streets. Because our core mission is when you pick up a phone, and you call and say, I need help when someone's breaking into your house, whether it be someone as egregious as a Beltmont Shore rapist, our job is to respond there to make sure that you're safe. And that's become my number one focus. However, the impact to that is that our detective detail is getting a little thinner. And the officers who are doing such a dramatically good job on patrol, the productivity has gone up 30%. That bubble is going through the organization. It's hitting my detective detail at this point in time.
Got it. And I know that originally there were some cutbacks planned for DARE and PAL, but those were restored by either the mayor or the city council. So DARE and PAL are okay.
They are okay for 1 year.
1 year.
Then they're going to be part of a larger study done on youth programs throughout the city as a whole.
Well, as you know, the Police Athletic League has a particular place in our heart here.
Absolutely.
At Straight Talk, and I'm glad to see that they were preserved at least for a year. I know Prop A on the November ballot, Measure A, mm-hmm. which would be a half-cent addition to the L.A. County sales tax, money going to police or police and fire?
Mm-hmm. Public safety.
Public safety. And that would create some $21 million if it passed for Long Beach.
Correct. The message to get out to people very, very succinctly is the fact that we're going from a three-dimensional police department to a one-dimensional. All our resources are going towards suppression. You were talking about PAL and DARE, which are prevention and intervention programs. We're moving away from those because we don't have enough resources, so we have to put them towards our core mission. This measure, if voted in by the voters, would give us, the city, $21 million, which will equate to, if it was just police officers, $130 to $135. However, the measure also allows us to put money towards after-school programs, which I'm very in favor of, keeping their hands active, young people, and secondly, towards fire training or training exercises dealing with Homeland Security.
Now, you said three-dimensional. What's the concept of three-dimensional?
Well, usually in law enforcement, in criminology 101, you have to deal with things on a basis of suppression, which are the guys, the men and women out there in the black and white police cars,
right,
solving crimes. Then you have the prevention aspect, which could be a PAL or DARE, and then you have the intervention programs where kids are involved in youth violence, and you have programs that are identified to steer them in another direction. And so you have to attack these problems for sustainability. So we'll have a safe city for 5, 10, 15 years from now. We have to hit it on all three levels. But because of the budget crisis, we're becoming one-dimensional, and not just with the youth. This city is growing at a dramatic rate. And a lot of growth, we're going in opposite directions. City's growing, and city government is getting smaller.
Yeah. And I know that, because you've said it on our show and you said it elsewhere many times, that fighting crime is not the unique responsibility of the police department. It needs a community-wide effort. What would you like our viewers and our citizens to do to help you guys do the job?
Well, I think it's as easy as going out and touching a child who doesn't look like you, who may not be who you're used to, and just sitting down and telling that child that they can become something special, providing insights on how do you take an SAT, providing insights on how do you dress to go get a job. It's very small things that can impact a child for a very long time, because a lot of these kids want to become successful. They just need someone to guide them, much like you do for us in our PAL program.
Well, I'll never forget going to your PAL facility and seeing an exhibition of karate, and the champion then, who had won all kinds of trophies, learned that his brother was serving life for murder. And same background, same family. One got involved in the PAL program and is a champion, and the other tragically in prison.
Yeah. A lot of, the PAL program, people think of just the athletics. The athletics are the hook. We get the kids in there based on the boxing or the karate or the weightlifting, but we also have computers there. We have tutorials, and what we're really trying to drive at is impacting the value statements of those young kids, and that's what you're actually seeing, is that one child, their value statement was impacted, where the other child, we didn't have that.
And I know Parks and Rec has been helping out with the PAL program.
We're starting a new model to try to pull police officers out. North PAL, Parks and Rec, PAL on the east side, Freeman. And now we're going to try to evolve to the west side by taking some of those other Parks and Rec people at the other locations and pushing them off to 9th also.
Okay, we'll be continuing our discussion with the chief. And in the next segment, we want to ask him about fireworks in Long Beach and what's going to be happening next July 4th. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of our show after these messages.
KKJZ-FM. Think jazz. Think KKJZ. 88.1 and 89.1 FM. Visit our website at www.kkjz.org.
I propose three cheers for those we leave behind.
Congratulations. Good job. Congratulations. I'm proud of you. Ensign Elliott, who's going to salute him? Guys, who gets to salute him first?
Hey, kid, what's shaking besides me?
Dad, there's something wrong with the fridge.
What?
Ooh, a snack.
Got energy hogs in your house? Now you have the power to do something about them. Log on to energyhog.org. Because nobody likes an energy hog.
Hey, they got Charlie!
Yeah, who cares?
There is really only one boy. One girl. One tree. One forest. One ocean. One mountain. One sky. And one simple way to care for it all. Please visit earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together under one name. Earthshare. One environment. One simple way to care for it.
There's something you should know about me. I'm cold. I'm calculating. I get what I want. If you get in my way, I'll wreak havoc upon you. I can leave you weak, limp, twisted, confused. If you want to live to see tomorrow, you answer to me, and you answer quickly.
I am a stroke.
Learn to recognize a stroke and act quickly. Time lost is brain lost.
Welcome back, and we're continuing a conversation with the Chief of Police, Anthony Batts, here in Long Beach. And Chief Batts is on the boards of directors of so many institutions in town, the NCCJ, Leadership Long Beach, Boy Scouts of America, and many others. And I think involvement in this city makes a big difference, too.
I think it's very important for a chief of police, a fire chief, and Chief Ellis along the same lines is very much involved. And I think being out there with kids makes a big difference, much like you very well know.
Fireworks, July 4th.
Speaking
big
of kids.
Prop, big challenge, and I know there were some complaints last July 4th about out-of-control fireworks, mm-hmm. and we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. Give us your take on what happened, what's going to happen next July 4th.
I don't think it was out of control. I think this year was actually better than last year. We took a stance as a city, and specifically the police department, to do education, because the reality is fireworks are part of the American culture, and they're part of the culture of this city. And I didn't want to come in with a ruler the first year and swat people without educating them on the front end. Those tickets range from anywhere from $300 ticket to $1,000 ticket.
So you were citing people for fireworks?
Absolutely.
Violation.
We did cite. We did more confiscation this year than even citing. We had somewhere close to about 100 large bags of fireworks that we confiscated between us and the fire department. Next year, we're taking a stronger stance. And this is the dichotomy that I think that we have. There was a lot of kids with fireworks. Kids do not have the fiduciary ability to buy fireworks. So someone is buying these fireworks for them.
You mean the money?
The money, the parents. The parents are going out buying these fireworks. And so when you get letters to the editors and
you can't buy them in Long Beach. They're not for sale.
No,
so you
can't buy them.
Signal Hill? Or?
Right, Signal Hill or anywhere in the county. But someone is buying them. And so I wanted to educate the kids this year, working with the fire department. Chief Ellis is going to put the firefighters into the school district to go educate the kids. And we're bringing in the entire police department next year. And we will be working the entire weekend, and we will take a very strong stand. But I still want to educate. I'd rather have people cooperate instead of having to cite everyone or give a $300 ticket or a $1,000 ticket.
And just for the record, fireworks are a physical threat, and as we'll discuss with Chief Giles in the next segment, also a fire threat.
In fact, they are illegal. And there's no difference between an M80 and safe and sane fireworks. They're both illegal.
An M80 being?
Being a very large or smaller stick of dynamite, basically, is what it is that kids are using right now. It's a pyrotechnic, has a huge explosion to
really?
It, and could basically blow off a finger or a hand.
Okay, so next July 4th, I know you're going to put extra officers on duty.
We're going to bring in the entire police department. We're going to cancel all days off, and we're going to respond.
Medical marijuana, a much discussed issue. The people of California have passed a proposition authorizing medical marijuana. The federal government has taken an opposite stance. What's the current policy of the Long Beach Police Department?
We've been working on changing the policy for the last year. Actually, the law has been in existence for about 9 years. My personal opinion is that it's one of the poorliest, worst drafted laws that I've seen in a long time. Very convoluted at times. For instance, for normal prescriptions, you have a doctor who signs it that we can validate. For medicinal marijuana, you can have an oral prescription that I have to have a 21-year-old police officer go out there and validate. Which we've set a policy with a series of questions that they can ask, have a supervisor come out. And the actual truth, Art, medicinal marijuana is not an issue for our city. Out of the 9 years that it's been here, medicinal marijuana makes up 0.000014 of our arrests, if any. We've had 5 arrests in 9 years.
So you're basically leaving medical marijuana alone.
It's not an issue.
Okay, fair
not
enough. Now, Chief, you've been chief for 2 years. It's a 24/7 kind of job for you. Tell us, what are your greatest satisfactions and your greatest frustrations in your job?
Well, the greatest satisfaction is working with the wonderful men and women of the Long Beach Police Department. And I don't say that patronizingly. I'm very proud of them. These guys, and I don't say this because I think they need a raise, but they haven't gotten a raise since October of 2001. And they haven't complained, they haven't whined, they've become more productive. Our arrests have gone up, our sites have gone up, and officers continue to do the professionalism that we've always asked them. Very proud of this organization. I guess that's the high point. What's interesting, I wouldn't say it's a downside, but a learning process, is making sure to keep the police department out of politics.
Okay. Well, as you know, we honor police, fire, and the military at the beginning of every Straight Talk show with our one-minute PSA. So let me just publicly thank you and the men and women of the force for what they do for our city and our community every day.
Sure. We appreciate that.
What's the biggest challenge for the future, Chief, in the minute or two that we, together alone, have left?
Sure. We're becoming a very efficient organization. However, growth is overcoming the city at this point in time. The city is growing. We have a lot of people coming. And to be able to stay on top of that and with the manpower that we have is going to become a challenge. It is becoming a challenge.
And I would imagine outreaching to the different communities, particularly non-English speaking, the Cambodian community and all. I know you've had a couple of officers, I don't know if you currently do, that speak Cambodian.
We speak Khmer. And we have officers that speak Spanish, Tagalog, and so we're making those outreaches. Those things are not the biggest challenges because we're on the way. Those are opportunities. The bigger challenges are going to be having the resources to keep up with growth.
And women on the force, your view of that?
We're doing a very good job. Our last two academy classes have had the largest number of females that we've had in history, and we will continue along those lines.
Okay. Well, in the next segment, we'll be joined by Deputy Chief Scott Giles from the Long Beach Fire Department, and we'll be talking about 9/11, emergency preparedness, and how the city is putting its act together to protect us in the event, God forbid, of some kind of attack. Stay with us. We'll be back with the remaining segment of Straight Talk after these messages.
If you're wasting energy, you'll find one in your home.
Got energy hogs in your house? Now you have the power to do something about them. Log on to energyhog.org.
Hey, let me go!
Here's your dreams, Gordon.
Because nobody likes an energy hog.
So, which job are you applying for?
There's more than one.
A couple more.
Wow.
High school graduate, right?
Oh, no, I dropped out.
Oh, well, that kind of narrows it down. But you may be in luck. We have one opening, and it's in advertising.
All right.
Go to OperationGraduation.com.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price.
Welcome back. Joined now by Deputy Fire Chief Scott Giles. Chief, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Art. Thanks for having me.
What is the fire department doing with regard to emergency preparedness and securing our city, in, God forbid, in the event of some kind of attack?
Art, I think since September 11th, we've really focused on three aspects. That would be training, equipment, and communication. When we talk about our training, we're actually going through different forms of training. When we're talking about weapons of mass destruction training, we're talking first responder hazmat training, we're talking biochem training. So we're sending all of our units and all of our firefighters to that initial first responder training.
Really? So all of our firefighters are in the process of being trained for bio attack and chemical attack.
Yes, and weapons of mass destruction. The other things we're seeing right now are large vehicle bombs. We just had a training seminar on that where we actually had the FBI come out, give us a class on what to look for those type of vehicles that might be parked in front of structures that could be, you know, blown up and be in a situation where it would collapse, and then we'd have to use our other resources to pull the people out of there.
Have those protective suits that we saw the military being given over in Iraq, have the equivalent of those been given to firefighters, biochem suits?
We are. Actually, because of some grants that we're currently getting, those are called level A or level B or level C suits, and we're going to outfit all our firefighters with those.
Well, just for the record, Long Beach has a Class 1 fire department, which is the highest rating. And as a result of that, insurance rates are lower in Long Beach than they would be in other cities that do not have that rating.
That's
so,
correct.
And I know you guys were probably the first paramedics in the state and do train other fire departments.
Frequently.
Yeah. So you probably are also at the cutting edge of this biochem response.
We do. And I think the main point is that we work in conjunction with other local departments. We work in conjunction closely with the police department. I think what I've seen since September 11th is really much better communication than we've ever had before. An example of that is we had someone going to the fire stations actually stealing IDs from the fire station. Before,
wow.
It would just would have been a regular random
yeah.
you know, threat. Now we call the police department up, and they get their terrorism group involved in it, and we find out it's a big deal, and they go after the guy. So.
Chief, what about the police department's role in fighting terrorism and prevention?
Well, Art, we have partnered with the fire department. We've put more officers down in the port. I think we still need more officers and more boats down in the port. We put more patrol at the airport and officers assigned. We've also started an Office of Homeland Security, which is
within the police department,
which looks at a strategic plan for fighting Homeland Security issues with the fire department. Then we started another Office of Counterterrorism, which is when the FBI identifies an individual as, let's say, for lack of a better term, a varsity player. When they've surveilled them enough, we then pick them up and make sure we keep track of those people if they're in the area or around the region.
So the Long Beach Police Department has an Office of Homeland Security.
Absolutely.
And an Office of Counterterrorism?
Absolutely.
I'm learning that for the first time.
Both of them just started in the past year and are working well.
It seems to me, and I've discussed this with other people, that the Port of Long Beach, L.A., is a national security asset and is a prime target. And we saw what happened with the lockout a couple of years ago with the boats backed up and the 16-wheelers all over the city and a $2 billion a day economic hit. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot's being done, but I think a lot more should be done. And I think we should get some federal assistance to protect a national security asset.
Absolutely. The city has received... has been funded with $43 million. We've only received about $16 million between the city, the police department, fire department, and the port itself. But we do need more security on the port.
There's a real disparity between the amount of money going into air transport protection and port safety.
Yes.
And my guess would be if there's going to be another event, they're not going to do the same thing again. They're going to do something different. It seems to me that the port is a prime target.
Well, Art, as an example of that, we work in conjunction with the Long Beach Police Department and our fire department dive team. And what happens is the police department will get the intel, whether from the Coast Guard or from a terrorism working group, and then we'll actually send our guys out there. We'll actually dive the ships, find out if there's any bombs attached to them or drugs and so on and so forth. So we're probably doing maybe 5 or 6 or 7 of those a month now.
Really?
Good partnership.
So on top of your normal responsibilities, both in fire and police, with your budget, you now have this additional level of responsibility, which has had some additional funding, but probably not nearly enough to cover the real costs of doing it.
Not even close. The other big issue between police and fire, public safety as a whole, and Scott can attest to this, is the fact that interoperability, communication, is a major issue. I cannot talk to LAPD with my handheld radios, who are our neighbors.
Really?
I can't talk to the sheriffs, who are our neighbors.
That is shocking.
That is absolutely shocking. If you read the 9/11 report, that was one of the issues that they talked about in New York.
In New York, absolutely.
For us to change out our system, we need to go to a digital system. We're in an analog system now. We need to go to a digital system that has 700 megahertz. To change that out would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $35 million to change out the backbone. That kind of money the city cannot come up with, and that's where we're asking the federal government to step in.
But it seems to me that would be critically important because first responders need to help each other. Whatever city has the misfortune of being the target, neighboring cities are going to come to aid,
absolutely.
And which you already do with fire and things, right, the police, but not to have a communication coordination seems unthinkable.
And what you have to understand is that we are the first responders. You know, you might have a situation where it just might be an explosion, but it turns out it actually is a terrorist threat. You might have a situation where it's somebody who is just called in sick, but all of a sudden they're calling that 50 people are sick. That could be a terrorist attack too.
Yes.
What we want to do is be able to operate with these guys and be able to say, this is what we think we have. Everybody has to be aware of it.
And I'm sure you'd encourage people to take Red Cross classes for self-help.
Oh, absolutely.
Because in an emergency, you guys can't be everywhere.
No, and fortunately for the fire department, we have our Long Beach Fire Department CERT team, which is our community response teams. Those are people we get involved in the community who actually can help us out. Clearly, on something like this, we're going to be overwhelmed as far as resources, just
absolutely,
like the police department is. So what we're going to do with these individuals in these neighborhoods, they'll be able to help us out.
So consider joining your neighborhood CERT team,
right,
and also being trained yourself in emergency
CPR, first aid.
Art, can I ask a question quick?
Yes, sir.
Hey, would you guys be interested in commingling your CERT team with our neighborhood watch teams?
Absolutely.
See, I think, and I was just thinking about that now, it makes sense to overlap those two entities.
Yeah.
Sure. And we organized the neighborhood watch in the building I used to live in where we were having a problem, and it ended the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we have what we call a shidduch, a marriage here of two neighborhood entities, Neighborhood Watch and CERT, and you saw it right here. Final words, Chief, about what you'd like the community to know about what you guys are doing.
You know, I was listening to Chief Batts talk earlier, and I would echo the same response, is that the men and women of the Long Beach Fire Department consistently go out and deliver the type of care that citizens of Long Beach should get. Day in, day out, 24/7, there's always somebody in a fire station willing to help them out. And so they're there to help, so call us at any time.
And as I said publicly to Chief Batts, let me say to you, Chief, thank you and the men and women of the Long Beach Fire Department for your public service, and we honor them at the beginning of our show, so we thank you and your men and women very much.
Thank you.
Thank you both for coming on this show and sharing your expertise. Thank you all for watching. Please join us next week for the next edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.